Speaking of due process handbook review, the next item on the agenda is to talk about where we are. There's also a paper, AP1E. AP1D is the review of the due process handbook, but E is an analysis of the key due process steps in tabular form in an attempt to make it easier to understand for the committee at this stage to understand what the due process steps are at various stages in the processes of the board, excuse me, and the interpretations committee and otherwise. That second paper is also not for the staff is not asking us specifically for feedback or asking us any questions about that. It, again, is informational. If we have questions, we should raise them. This is also one of those papers you should keep handy because it will be important as we continue on our journey with the due process handbook review. So, Richard?
So Alan has now said much of what I would have said, but that's good. So the two papers, the first summarizes what we've done so far, and both of these have been prepared by Sam Pestidge, who's with us today. The first summarizes what we've done so far, and as you'll remember, at this stage in the handbook review, we are still in sort of information gathering mode. So we've set out there the various groups that we've talked to, the information that we've gleaned from them, and it's been very valuable, the wider outreach we've undertaken. Specifically, before you next meet, we will have three sessions, I think, with the Advisory Council on seeking their views on the project generally and also on how we can best receive comment letters. And we will talk to the major firms before the next DPOC meeting. And, of course, we will continue to engage with the Monitoring Board. That's the first of the papers. The second, as Alan has said, is the first go at actually providing a tabular outline of how the handbook works. As you know, it's grown over time, and all of us have the same issue of having to work through the handbook to find things. We think this is really helpful to us. We hope it will be to you. I think that before we finalise the handbook review, we need to get this not only in a tabular format, but also a chronological format, so that we're much more explicit about where each due process decision is on each project. And then you can better understand, and we can decide whether we've got the right checkpoints. Sam, is there anything you wanted to add on that?
Well, thank you very much. No, I think the table certainly will be useful at this stage to provide you with a baseline just of understanding that role through the process. But really, it, moving forward, if you could give it consideration in line with what we're trying to achieve with the handbook review, it will be very, very useful moving forward, just to reiterate what Alan and Richard have said.
Michelle?
Karen, maybe it's a question for you also, Richard. What role do you see for this group in this review process? I'm a bit surprised that, you know, there's no consultation of this group, formal consultation to some extent, as a source of input. Not for me, because, you know, or some of us who just arrived, but for people who've been here long enough and experienced through the process. And also, at what point would you seek, you know, this group to step into that review process, if you could provide some guidance.
But this committee owns the handbook unequivocally, so any decisions about it will be made by this committee. We expect to have a more substantive discussion with you at the next meeting, because by that stage we'll have some more clear outlines of what we've learnt so far and what we think needs to be done. So the next meeting is very important in terms of the longer timetable. As Alan said earlier, if you have comments as you've worked through this, any comments or suggestions, please do send them to me. Reading this document always prompts questions and issues, but we want to have a bigger discussion next time round.
Yeah, I think I said that to Richard and not to you, but I will say it to you. I think the committee is still probably more in listening mode at this point, but I think we are approaching an inflection point where we are going to become participatory. And so I think you all got a copy of the due process handbook. It's available on the website if you prefer using it electronically. It's not too early for those of you who don't have some level of facility with it to get there. If you have specific thoughts, I guess I would ask you to communicate them to Richard and Henry, maybe in the next, you know, in time for them to be able to digest them for Johannesburg. I can tell you my own thinking. I've started to go through the handbook. And I'll give you an unauthorized list of some of the things that I'm thinking about, which hasn't been discussed with Richard or Henry.
Go at dictation speed, and I'll catch it.
Well, I'll hand this to you, if you'd like. One, and it's highlighted in the paper, is I think we have to be more mindful of the importance of effects analysis in thinking about due process. By that, I mean big effects, more important, bigger change, more due process, fewer effects. Think about it more up front. Have it inform our earlier decisions and our earlier due process. So I think effects analysis is important. I think we have to think about incorporating technology into our due process steps. There's a couple of obvious ways, like do you do the comment letter process online the way some American agencies have started to do? That's not an unalloyed good, but it's worth, we have to think about that. We have to think about relationships between the IASB, the board, and the interpretations committee. There was a question just a few minutes ago about how they interact on agenda decisions. I think that's a subset of a larger set of questions. I think we have to think about agenda decisions, which are not, as I said earlier, as robustly covered in the due process handbook as they probably should be, as they take a more important role in the way we communicate. I think we have to think about how the due process handbook should reflect performance post-implementation reviews, which is not super well, it's not very robustly covered in the current version, and maybe more. There's a very specific issue about anonymous complaints that came before this committee last year that I think we have to decide whether and how we handle in the due process handbook. And finally, as to Richard's last point, it has grown by accretion, and I think probably some modest editing and reorganization would probably make it a lot easier to use and understand. So that's one interested person's list of among the things, and it's certainly not exhaustive, that we are going to be thinking about in the next period as we go through this.
I'm guessing, and I'm looking at Richard with some trepidation as I say this in case he's going to hit me when I get back to the office, but to make it easier for the committee, I'm guessing that once we've listened to all these different interested parties, the staff will come up with an idea of what they think should be the handbook should look like and then get specific reactions. So you've got something specific to respond to make it easier, and then you've got something more targeted to focus on.
Right. That was a more articulate version of what I was saying. When I think the committee is still mostly in listening mode, but is about to hit the inflection point. And when we see those documents, I think that's when that will happen.
Alan?
Mariana, sorry.
It's just a very generic comment on something we heard from ASAF in their last meeting about the revision of the handbook. And it was to remember that the original move for us to start this review was to get more timeliness in our standard setting process. Not to forget.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, if you look at our reputational survey, there are two interesting observations, and there's a little bit of a tension between them. One is make sure we have enough due process, and the other is let's be more timely and prompt in our standard setting. And you're absolutely right, Maria Elena. One of the things we have to do in this review is figure out where we think the right balance between those two issues is and try to land there. Teresa, sorry.
Thank you, Alan, and apologies for being late. You've just given us a little preview of your wish list, and I just wondered whether we can have the benefit of your top three challenges, given that you've obviously given this a little bit more thought. That's my first question. The second question is, can you give us a flavour of the timeline? You know, how long have we got to do this, if I may? Thank you.
Let's do the second one first, because I think there's an answer to that.
So we put forward the timeline previously in the previous meeting. So we're now the work starts, really. I'm working closely with Richard on this, and my focus has been actually on the ASAF review. So now we're really going to be cooking with gas, as it were, and which is why we'll come back to this committee in future meetings, the next meeting, the one after, with better thoughts around how we can develop the handbook. After that, we will incorporate comments from this committee, put the handbook out for exposure, receive comment back, and I think the current timeline looks at publishing a revised handbook in 2020.
I don't mind giving Teresa a very preliminary answer to her question about challenges, without necessarily there being three. I think one is the due process of reviewing and amending the handbook. That is, I think, making sure that we reflect appropriately, various stakeholders' views as to what needs to be changed or should be changed. We're going to go through some of the same process that the board goes through in setting standards and trying to figure out where we will say yay and where we will say nay. So I think that's one challenge. I think that the second challenge is, I think the handbook is pretty good when it comes to what the due process steps are with respect to standard setting itself. That was the starting point. That's where we have the most experience. That's where the rules and the practices are most settled. I think we will face larger challenges as we move past standard setting to some of the things that have become more important as elements of our communications arsenal in recent times: agenda decisions, how the board and the committee interact, interpretations, and some of the other kind of intermediate steps. So that would be the second one. And I think the third one I would mention as of right now is the combination of effects analysis and proportionality, and how we should make sure that things are not more complicated and time-consuming than they need to be, but are as complicated and as time-consuming as they should be, depending upon the importance of the subject at hand. That's what I would kind of lay out for you is what I think about as of right now, which is I'm pretty uninformed still, and we'll see what happens going forward.